We thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this Sermon on the Mount that really helps encapsulate for us the teaching of Jesus about his kingdom and about the kind of people who are fit to be in his kingdom. Lord, we pray you might help us to examine our own hearts and to grow as we look at these Beatitudes, that each one would be another step we would be taking to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we beg you, Lord, to teach us today. Open our hearts, Lord, soften them to receive your truth and to respond in a way that's pleasing and honoring to you. Father, we pray for those who are hurting today, and we ask you to bring comfort and strength. We pray for those who are ill and sick and unable to be here, and ask you to help them and restore them, Lord. We pray for those who have got the wrong priorities today and are not seeking you. We pray you to bring them back, Lord. We pray for those who are laboring to proclaim your word in other churches around our country and around the world. And Lord, we ask you to bless their efforts. We pray especially today that you'd bless the efforts of Christians that are in China and that are in the areas particularly affected by this virus outbreak. Lord, we pray that you would give them boldness to proclaim your word to others, and that you would use their witness to turn many to Christ during this time of great need. Lord, we pray that you might bless our hearts as we read your word this morning and as we consider what it means to be truly meek. Lord, we pray you'd help us to know that and to walk in that way today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for your attention to the word today. The title of today's message is Only the Meek May Enter. Only the meek may enter. Jesus' promise here is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So the implication is that those who are not the meek will not inherit the earth. What does it mean to be meek? You know, have you ever heard someone give kind of a backhanded compliment? You know, a backhanded compliment is something that sounds like a compliment, but the more you think about it, it may not be a compliment. For instance, someone may meet you and get to know you a little bit and then say, you know, your social media account made you seem so fun. But, you know, maybe in real life, not quite as much. Or I didn't think you would be able to get that job. Congratulations. It's sort of a compliment, but sort of not. Or to look at your new outfit and a lady says to another, well, half of your outfit looks fabulous. It's like when someone walked up to you and said, you are so meek. You think, well, what does that even mean? Does that mean like I have a target on my head that says, bullies, come here. I am meek and ready for you. What does it mean to be meek? Someone approached you and said, you know, you handled that situation so meekly. You'd say, oh, that's not the word I would want to pick there to describe myself. Handled it so meekly. I think we think that way because we don't understand exactly what Jesus is talking about when he says, blessed are the meek. Or we would know that's really a great compliment to be considered meek. You may think about the man Moses in the Bible, the great leader of Israel. One thing you may not know about Moses is in the book of Numbers, God says about him that he was the meekest man on the earth. Say, that's not exactly job description of leader, is it? And those kind of things don't really go together. A leader, you think strong, assertive, bold. You don't think meek. And yet, one of the greatest leaders in Israel's history is described as a man of great meekness. And then, of course, you've got Jesus himself, who was meek and lowly in heart, and he even invited us to come and learn from him to be meek as well. So if you don't understand what the word meek means, the way Jesus talks about it, you certainly would not take it as a compliment when someone referred to you as meek. Yet Jesus says the earth will belong to the meek. So if you only associate meekness with weakness, which I think is what many people do, then you miss the point Jesus is making. And as a result, you might miss the blessing that he is offering as well. So Matthew 5:5 is going to be where we focus our attention today. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, in order to understand this one beatitude of Jesus, we need to remember that these beatitudes build on one another. So we have to start at the beginning to really get to meek. It's the third one on purpose. It's not the first one. It'd be out of place there. The first one is that we would be poor in spirit. When a person comes into a right relationship with God, this is kind of the first work that the Spirit of God does in our heart. We see the poverty of our own righteousness. We see the poverty of our own strength to be able to be pleasing to God. So we humble ourselves before him. The Lord makes us know our emptiness and humbles us. And then the next beatitude is, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When he humbles us, then he makes us mourn over our deficiencies. That's the second beatitude. There's a true knowledge of ourselves, and then there's a genuine grief over the way we fall short of what God expects for us. So the man who is meek has had to first go here to these other two. It's like the steps on a ladder. If you want to reach the third step safely, then you should first get on the first step and then the second, and only then are you ready to get up to the third step. So these beatitudes are like that. They build on one another. They flow out of one another. So this meekness comes to the man who is not self-righteous. You know, the self-righteous person is never the meek person. There's a humbling, and then there is a preparation for this gracious meekness that God talks about. Well, just the fact that Jesus addresses this in what many regard as his most important sermon should tell us we should care about meekness. And the promise attached to meekness tells us we should care about it as well. And so to understand how significant this is and what it means and really how to live it out, we're going to consider three different headings this morning. First, we want to illustrate meekness. Then we want to see how meekness is compensated and how meekness, lastly, is cultivated. So meekness illustrated. I've got six different phrases that relate to what real meekness is. And the first two are about our relation to God, and then the next four are about how meekness is related to other people. So first, I want you to see that meekness towards God means a submissiveness to God's will. If someone is meek, they are submissive to God's will. In other words, whatever God wants, the meek want. You know, if you have in your image, in your head the image of a meek person as a pushover, then you're partially right, because the meek person is a pushover when it comes to God. You know, whatever God says, the meek person goes along with, because he's God. It's really a foundational part of our whole relationship to God, is to first of all understand he is God, we are not. He is Lord, we are servant. He is master, we are not the master. So when God speaks, our response should be, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Here am I. Send me. I will go. I will follow. I will obey. So a meek person is a pushover with God. Whatever God wants, the meek wants. Whatever God commands, the meek is willing to listen to. It isn't about, meekness isn't about weakness before men. We're talking about weakness before God. Isn't that hard to do? And it's easy to say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I follow God. We follow God? Like all the time? Even when it's hard? Even when we don't want to? Even when there's pressure for us not to? It's easy to say we follow God, but it's hard to do it, isn't it? That's where this quality of meekness comes in. It is a submissiveness to God's will. It's laying aside my rights. It's laying aside my authority and recognizing His authority. It is bringing my power, my ability, my choices underneath His. It's submission to Him. Meekness begins with this submissiveness to God. And even though it's hard to do, it is really a wonderful place to do. One of the great things about being a child that children don't realize is that they really don't have to worry about a whole bunch of things. You know, so much is taken care of for them. They don't have to stress out about things that adults stress out about. They're just happy to know that mommy or daddy or grandma or somebody that they love is near and they're okay. They don't have to worry about anything because really they are meek compared to adults. Sometimes they act defiant, I know. Sometimes they want to be in charge. But when it comes down to it, they are the happiest when they are submissive to loving parents that care for them. And there's such a freeness there where children don't have to stress out about everything. And so it is for us as believers. If we can ever really grasp that Jesus is Lord, He is Lord, and He is our Savior, and He is our protector. He is our shield. He is our strength. He is our sure and steady anchor, like we sang about earlier. He is all we need. And there's such a blessing in just saying, okay, Lord, I'm just going to be with You. That's going to be my responsibility. My responsibility is going to be just follow You, follow what You say. And there's such joy in that. So kids that are here, hey, let me talk to you for a minute. You will find your greatest happiness in following your parents' instruction. Following your parents, ultimately following the Lord, but following the authority that God's placed over you. Husbands and wives, and God will bless your marriage as you get a hold of this principle of this submission to one another and a wife submitting to her husband as he leads her to follow Christ. It's the key to blessing. It's the key to blessing in our church as we submit ourselves to God's word and God's spirit and we follow what He says. Meekness is first of all, yes, about weakness. It's about weakness, not to men, but to God, a submission to God's will. That brings a real joy that you can say, wherever God has placed me is the best place for me. You know, my children trust that Lindsay and I are trying to take care of them and trying to do what's best for them. But the truth is, we are not always perfect. We don't always put them in the best position. We try, but we fail in that. Our strength is not enough so that we can do that all the time. But as Christians, we have God as our Father. And He is the one who says not a sparrow falls without Him knowing about it. Not a hair, the hairs of our head are numbered. That He is a God who's gracious and good in every way. And there's such a freedom in saying, Lord, I trust You. Instead of fighting against my circumstances, I can say, Lord, how do You want me to glorify You in these circumstances? How can I please You in these? How can I walk in Your ways? None of that's possible without this attitude of submission to God. And that's the foundation of meekness. There's a submission to God. And then secondly, I'd say there is a flexible to God's word. A meek person is flexible to God's word. So if we're meek towards God, we're always willing to bend. If we're meek towards God, we're always willing to bend. It's hard to do. But when you yield to God, when you give up to God, it's not like a weak person who's just giving in to the bully and being the doormat for someone else. It's not like that. Because when God is trying to get you to bend, it's not so He can use you as a doormat. It's so He can bless your life here. so he can use you to have an impact on others. God has good purposes for us. So when his word comes against us, when his word contradicts us, we ought to be willing to bend. We ought to come to the Bible to say, Lord, teach me. Something that can happen to Christians after we've been Christians for a while is we start to go to the Bible to prove our point or to win an argument or to show that we're right and somebody else isn't. But God did not give us his word so we could win arguments with one another or so we could prove our points. The meek person comes to the word with the attitude of the psalmist that said, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119, 18. You come to the Bible not looking to prove a point, but to have a humble attitude to say, Lord, teach me. Lord, guide me. Lord, instruct me. And when the meek come to the word and find clear instructions, then they bend to it. They quickly seek to obey it. It's one reason on our sermon notes handout, on the very bottom of it, on the back, it has a little bit of instruction. I don't know if you've read that before, but it's there every single week. So that tends to mean no one will ever read it because it's just part of the paper. But it'd do you good to read it. It basically says, look, we have heard God's word and we are responsible to do it. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do in response to what you've heard? If we come to God with an attitude of meekness, we come as a soldier ready for orders. We come as a person ready for their commission, an employee ready for their assignment. We come eager to hear what God says. When you don't find clear instructions, what about those times when you read the Bible and you don't quite understand? You don't get it. Maybe you're confused by something it seems like God is doing. Well, a meek person does this first. They assume that God is actually God and they are not. It comes right back to that. Jesus is Lord. So I can assume that if I don't understand something or it's confusing, that God is not doing anything wrong. God is not contradicting himself. God is true. And maybe I just don't understand it. And so I need to trust in the Lord. I need to maybe study some more. I need to look some more. But I need to assume that God has spoken and his word is true. And I can trust him and follow him. So meekness before God, it demonstrates itself really as a weakness before God. Submissiveness to him, flexible to his word. But now what does it look like before other people? Before other people, meekness is illustrated by humility. The meek man is humble. If someone truly understands they're poor in spirit and they mourn over their weakness and they submit themselves to God, then they do not walk around like they are the most important person in the room. They do not walk around like they are the best. You know, if they have privilege based on the family they were born in or based on the work even that they have done, they don't flaunt it because a meek person is a humble person. A person that's meek does not claim to be the best of men or even one of the best of men. But like the Apostle Paul said, he was the chief of the sinners. And talk about the wrong person to claim to be the best of. Paul says he was the best of sinners. So a meek person in Jesus' day did not expect to get the best place to seat, to stand in the synagogue, or the best seat at the feast that was going on. They were satisfied to just walk around as an example of the grace of God poured out on someone. The meek one is the humble one. And this is just natural, that if we are weak before God, if we humble ourselves before God, we will walk the more humbly before other men. A meek person is humble, so he will give up his own rights if he thinks there's a greater benefit to others. Another characteristic here of a meek person is patience. Patience. This just flows right out of, again, if we're submissive to God, then we know that He's in control. We know that He is doing what He promised, that He's working all things together for good. So we can wait on Him. We can trust in Him. We don't have to be full of anxiety. We can wait. One commentator says, the meek are those who choose the way of patient faith instead of self-assertion. Thanks for Pastor Allen for sharing that with me. The meek choose the way of patient faith instead of self-assertion. That's what a meek man does. If you're submitting yourself to God, then you can trust in Him. You know, when other people wrong you, the meek person is not the person who just gets run over. No, the meek person is the one who's confident that God avenges. The one who's confident that he doesn't have to take revenge because God is the one who will settle the debts. God is the one who's qualified to take care of that. He's the one who knows enough to take care of it. And we can trust him. They forgive. A meek person is forgiving. Because they understand if they submit themselves to God, God will take care of them. You can be upset and yet not sin if you turn your anger from being angry at a person to being angry at sin and wanting to see it put away from yourself as well. It's amazing in this sermon, in the next chapter, Jesus tells us to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And elsewhere he promises us kind of a backhanded promise, that if we forgive those who sin against us, then he will forgive us. It's like if we're unwilling to forgive others, we haven't really understood the kind of forgiveness that Jesus has given to us. So a meek person is humble and patient and forgiving. Forgiving. Lastly, a meek person could be described as contented. Contented. All of these attitudes towards other people flow out of having the first two attitudes toward God. If we submit to God, we can be content. We can trust that God will provide for us. We can trust that God will take care of us. We can trust that since God has forgiven us, He will give us grace to forgive others. Since He's shown mercy to us, we can show mercy to other people. Now, meekness is easy to show when nobody bothers you, right? It's when someone bothers you, when someone offends you, when someone attacks you, that's when you really get to see whether you actually possess any meekness or not. It's easy when everything's smooth sailing. But when trouble comes, then we have to go back to this very beginning. Am I submitting myself to God? Am I trusting in Him? Am I flexible to His word? In other words, am I willing to respond to this situation the way God tells me to? For example, in Ephesians 4, he says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So when someone offends you, is your first response to say, there's a willingness to forgive? Well, that's what the meek do. The meek submit themselves to God. The meek are willing to follow God's word. I don't know about you, but the more I hear about the meek, the more I realize I've got a ways to go. I've got challenges to meekness that come up all the time. And each of us do. There's only one man who's perfectly meek. That's the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is the perfect man. So there's no way we can achieve all of this without God's help. And we'll talk some more about that a little bit later on. But what does meekness look like? Well, in relationship to God, we're submissive to His will. What God wants, the meek want. We're flexible to His word. We're humble. We're patient. We're forgiving. We're content. So how is meekness compensated? The second point, meekness compensated. What will God do for the meek. In the world, you might think the meek get nothing. What do the meek get? Well, maybe something like run over or taken advantage of or ignored or trampled. However, Jesus sees things quite differently. Remember, meekness is not weakness before men. It is weakness before God. Because we're submitted to God, we can control the way we respond to people because we're submitted to follow God's instructions. One day, God will completely reclaim this earthly domain. His rule will be open and visible. Jesus promised, or God promised, that the descendant of David, the seed of David, would sit on his throne in Jerusalem, and he would rule a kingdom that had no borders because it was world without end. Jesus will come and sit on that throne, and that will be quite an amazing day. Revelation 21 talks about this as Jesus will rule and reign for 1,000 years on the earth before another rebellion of the devil and a final establishment or a final defeat of Satan and his forces forever, where we will then be in eternity with the Lord. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. The only ones that will be in his kingdom are those who have been poor in spirit, who have mourned, and who are the meek. This is a kingdom that is promised, a land that is promised, that is available to the meek. Most of the Jews, when Jesus came, thought that the Messiah's kingdom would come and it would be great and powerful, and it would belong to them, and they would be the mightiest on the earth. But before Jesus is going to set up that kingdom where he rules with an iron rod, as described, he comes and says, "My inheritance, my kingdom belongs to not the mighty, but the meek." It's not the proud who gain before God. It's the proud who are put down before God. It's the humble that he pours out grace on. It's those that submit to him that he blesses. This beatitude is almost a direct quotation of Psalm 37:11. And Pastor Allen is going to open up that psalm for us, I believe, tonight. God's people sometimes wonder, as generations of faithful Jews wondered, why do the wicked seem to prosper? Why do the ungodly seem to get all the things in this world? And through David, God assured his people in Psalm 37:10, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more." It says the wicked's time of judgment is coming. Don't assume, dear Christian, do not assume everything is always going to remain like it is now. Now, there is coming a day when the wicked will not prosper, when the wicked will not seem to escape God's judgment. But he will come, and he will avenge, he will repay. And who's he going to bless? He's going to bless the meek. He's going to bless the humble. Our responsibility, while we wait for that coming kingdom, that establishment on earth and that eternity in heaven, is to do just what the last song we sang said, to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's so simple, but it's so true. This is what the meek person does. They trust in the Lord and know that he will accomplish his way at exactly the right time in exactly the right way. And so we can live in faith and hope based on a certain promise from Jesus that we will inherit the earth. This kind of future promise and future hope is used over and over throughout the letters of the apostles to encourage the saints. Just one example is in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 13. Peter says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." There's coming a time when the kingdoms of this world will be the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ. We sing a hymn sometimes, Jesus Shall Reign. It's an old song. Here's one of the verses. It says, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run. So the picture of the sun going around and the light of the sun shining the whole earth. He says, wherever the sun hits, Jesus will reign. His kingdom will stretch from shore to shore till moons shall wax and wane no more. Till the moon grows and shrinks no more. Because in this eternal kingdom, it says there'll be no more sun because the Lord himself will be the light of it. It says Jesus is going to reign over everything and he's going to reign over it forever. This is the blessing that Jesus promises to those who today will submit themselves to Jesus. It's what we do when we become a believer. We recognize the poverty of our spirit. We mourn over our sins. We yield ourselves to Christ. And these attitudes are not just in order to become a Christian, but these are attitudes that are to grow and to be perfected more and more as we live out the Christian life. The longer that you have known Christ, the more of a meek person you should be. If you've known Jesus for a long time, then you should be growing in this, not pride, but in poverty of spirit. Not in a callousness over sins that you are ignoring, but in a mourning over them. Not in a pride that you're better than others or that you've arrived to a place that's higher than other Christians. No, but a meekness, a submissiveness to God, a humility before others, knowing that who we are is by the very grace of God. One day Jesus will come. And the blessing on the earth will be great. Isaiah describes it as a time when the branches of the trees will be weighed down with fruit, and the plains will wave with grain. The lamb and the lion will lie down together. Revelation 22 says the saints will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. This earth was not made to be a crown for the devil, but a crown for the righteous. For God's people, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, this inheritance is not just for the future. It certainly is, and it's great, and it's glorious. But those who right now submit themselves to God get to see blessings that they wouldn't see otherwise. They get to see a bit of God's kingdom on earth right now. Now, there's coming a day when everything's going to be perfect. Right now, obviously, it's not. But you know what is so exciting to see? It's so exciting to see the God of heaven working in ordinary people like you and like me, bringing us a little bit more towards that kind of perfection. That's what sanctification is about. It's about believers progressively, little by little, even if it's three steps forward and two steps back, little by little, becoming more like Christ. Little by little, when difficulties or when circumstances are bad, we learn a little more to respond meekly. Not weakly before people, but weakly before God. Where we submit to Him, we trust Him, we depend on Him, we walk in His ways in response to what's going on. And when we see that, we get to experience a little bit of heaven on earth. And when we gather with the saints here and we worship the Lord and we lift our voices to God, however imperfect we may think our praise is, it's just a little taste of heaven's glory when we'll praise the Lord together. The kingdom is coming, yes, but we get to experience many of the blessings of the kingdom here. Meekness is necessary, though, in order to experience these blessings. I feel like it's really important that I say that because I think what's missing oftentimes in a message about the blessings that we have in the future is a warning that those blessings do not automatically go to everyone. The only people who inherit the earth, Jesus says, are the meek. So in order to receive this blessing of salvation here and now, we must come to a place where we are poor in spirit, where we recognize our sins, and we turn to Jesus in a submissive faith to say, He is Lord, and we are not. He is the Savior, and without Him, there is no salvation. So lastly, I want us to consider just for a moment, how do we cultivate this meekness? How do we cultivate this? Early on, we said the more we look at meekness, the more we realize we've got room to grow. So how do we grow? Let me give you three specific things here. How do you develop meekness? First, you must be submitted to the Son of God. You must be submitted to the Son of God. This goes right along with this sequence of the Beatitudes. Poor in spirit. We see ourselves as bankrupt before God, absolutely broken, and we grieve over it. We're submitted to God. If you want to, I'd invite you to turn over to Matthew 11. If you don't have the Bible handy, I'm going to read it to you, verses 28 through 30, a passage I alluded to earlier. Listen to the words Jesus is saying here. Matthew 11 and verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." So are you listening? Jesus is saying to you today, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now listen, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." The KJV says, "I am meek and lowly in heart." That's the idea of that gentleness, that meekness, that submission before God. Jesus says, if you want to learn from me, then you come meekly. You come not proud, but you come submissively. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." It's a picture of an ox. The yoke is that thing that goes around his neck that's wood and leather, and it's tied back to a cart or a plow or whatever it's pulling, and it's holding it on there. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Learn of me. Jesus himself says he is the one who's meek. He's the one who's gentle. He's the one who's lowly. Why did Jesus endure all the things that he endured going to the cross? Why did he endure being arrested and being whipped and being mocked and hanging naked before the world to die in shame on the cross? Did he do it because he was weak? No, he did it the opposite of being weak. He did it because he was strong and mighty, and he submitted himself to God's will. He submitted himself to the plan of salvation for us. The way for us to be forgiven was to have Jesus, the Son of God, die in our place. And Jesus submitted to that. Not being run over, his life wasn't taken from him. He said repeatedly, he laid it down. He did this purposefully. He says, "Take my yoke on you." It's as though we've got here two places for oxen. The yoke is on Jesus, and he says, "Come along beside me. Take my yoke upon you." We're going to pull this together. We're going to grow in meekness as we learn to follow Jesus, as we know him, as we walk with him. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." The scripture says the way of transgressors is hard. The way of going the way of the world is hard. Jesus says, "My way is easy." Now, if you think that means there'll be no problem, then you don't understand what yokes and oxen have to do with one another. To say it's easy means this yoke here, it fits nicely on you. It works perfectly for the purpose. What does the oxen with the yoke on it do that the oxen without a yoke doesn't do? They pull a load. They work hard. He doesn't say here being a Christian is easy and simple. Easy in the sense of being simple and lazy. No, but it's perfectly what you were suited for. You were meant to walk with Jesus, pulling through this life, carrying this load with him at our side. There's plenty of work to do. But Jesus says, take my yoke on you and learn of me. Come along beside me. Walk with me. This is how we learn to cultivate meekness. When we learn more about Jesus. When we look at how he responded to difficult situations. He was submissive to the will of the Father. He was flexible to follow God's word. And so as a result, he's humble towards others. He's content with where he is, knowing that he is accomplishing God's purposes. If you would turn over with me to another passage, James chapter 1. You have to go back to your right in the Bible, right after the book of Hebrews, you'll find James. If we're going to cultivate meekness, we need to be submissive to the Son of God, and then we need to be responsive to the Word of God. In James 1:21, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness and receive, listen to this, with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Do you want to be meek? Jesus says you're going to be submissive to the word of God. You're going to be growing more in receiving God's word meekly. Again, remember, meekness is weakness before God. It is being a pushover to God's will. Whatever he says goes. If you want to be meek, then you must receive the Son of God and you must respond to God's word. What does it mean to receive it with meekness? It means to be open to what it says. If you want to cultivate meekness, then cultivate the habit of coming to God's word, saying, Lord, teach me. And then when he teaches you, be willing to follow it. Cultivate the habit of when you hear God's word preached, that you're listening for specific things that God wants to change in your life. And commit yourself to saying, Lord, I want to do that. I want to follow you. These are the ways that God intends for us to grow in meekness. Is that we would let the word of God be in control. Like Christ is the yoke on our backs, it's like the word is the bridle in our mouth, that we're letting it pull and direct us and guide us in the way we should go. Let Jesus direct us. In Galatians 5:22, one final way to cultivate the spirit, or cultivate this meekness, is to be filled with the Spirit of God. One of the fruits of the Spirit is listed as meekness. When you say, Lord Jesus, I want to put your yoke on me. When you say to the Word of God, I will receive this Word with meekness. And when you say to the Spirit of God, work in me. God produces in us meekness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not a fruit we buy at the market. It's a fruit that God produces in our hearts. It's not something we manufacture. It's something the Spirit of God produces in us. See, if you come before God, poor in spirit, mourning over your sins, submitting to Him, then you will grow day by day to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, to be meek before Him. You walk in the Spirit, and there will be meekness in your heart and in your life. So if you're here today and you have never bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, let me just tell you plainly what Jesus is saying over and over in these first parts of the Sermon on the Mount. There is no way you will enter heaven, you will enter God's kingdom, you will enjoy those blessings without coming to Him. Only the meek may enter. What do you need to do in order to enter heaven? Well, there's not a long process you need to go through. There's a change of heart that you need to have. You need to acknowledge your sin against God. You need to submit to Him. You need to believe that Jesus has died for your sins, that He has rose again, that He will forgive you if you come to Him. Not proud, boasting in who you are, or how God should let you into heaven because of how good you are, or how you're better than others. No, come humbly. Come as a beggar. Come in faith, and He will receive you. If you've been here today and in your mind has just been, yeah, I've already done that. I know that. Then you missed the point. The point of Jesus declaring these Beatitudes was not to say, this is just how someone gets into heaven. No, He says, blessed are the meek. If you want a blessed life, then you need to grow in this. The Greek word for blessed is Makarios. There's an island in the Mediterranean that the Greeks called Makarios. They called it blessed. Today we call it Crete. They called it blessed because on the island of Crete, there was everything they needed to have a self-sustaining city, life. There was plenty of farmland. There were good harbors. There was just a perfect place so that they called this island blessed, Makarios. You might call it paradise. It had everything that they could want, everything that they could dream of. Jesus says, if you want a blessed life, if you want a little taste of heaven on earth, if you want a little slice of paradise today, then here's the way to do it. Grow in poverty and spirit. Grow in mourning over our sins. Grow in meekness. And we're going to keep on going through these Beatitudes, but each one of these are steps of a ladder that we ought to continually be climbing, continually be seeking to grow in these so that we truly can model what it looks like to be a citizen of heaven while we walk here on earth and while we might enjoy more and more of the blessings of a coming kingdom right here and right now. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer today. And let's think about what God is telling us in His Word about meekness. And let's submit ourselves to Him.